خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سدر مخضود وطلح منضود وظل ممدود وماء مسكوب وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين ثلة من الأولين وثلة من الآخرين وأصحاب الشمال ما أصحاب الشمال في سموم وحميم وظل من يحموم لا بارد ولا كريم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك مترفين وكانوا يصرون
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد Thank you so much for joining us for our final majlis for the Shahadat of Imam Ali. Inshallah, I want to start tonight's program by inviting Brother Ali Hamdani to recite the Surah of the Quran. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حم والكتاب المبين إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم أمرا من عندنا إنا كنا مرسلين رحمة من ربك إنه هو السميع العليم رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إن كنتم موقنين لا إله إلا هو يحيي ويميت ربكم ورب آبائكم الأولين بل هم في شك يلعبون فارتكب يوم تأتي السماء بدخان مبين يغشى الناس هذا عذاب أليم ربنا اكشف عنا العذاب إنا مؤمنون أنى لهم الذكر وقد جاءهم رسول مبين ثم تولوا عنه وقالوا معلم مجنون إن كاشف العذاب قليلا إنكم عائدون يوم نبطش البطشة الكبرى إنا منتكمون ولقد فتن قبلهم قوم فرعون وجاءهم رسول كريم إن أدوا إلي عباد الله إني لكم رسول أمين ولا تعلوا على الله إني آتيكم بسلطان مبين وإني عدت بربي وربكم أن ترجمون وإن لم تؤمنوا لي فاعتزلون فدعا ربه أن هؤلاء قوم مجرمون فاسر بعبادي ليلا إنكم متبعون واترك البحر رهوى إنهم جند مغرقون كم تركوا من جنات وعيون وزروع ومقام كريم ونعمة كانوا فيها فاكهين كذلك وأورثناها قوما آخرين فما بكت عليهم السماء والأرض وما كانوا منذرين ولقد نجينا بني إسرائيل من عذاب مهين من فرعون إنه كان عاليا من المسرفين ولقد اخترناه على علم على العالمين وآتيناهم من الآيات ما فيه بلاء مبين إن هؤلاء ليقولون إن هي إلا موتتنا الأولى وما نحن بمنشرين فأتوا بآبائنا إن كنتم صادقين أهم خير أم قوم تبع والذين من قبلهم أهلكناهم إنهم كانوا مجرمون وما خلقنا السماوات وما بينهما لاعبين ما خلقناهما إلا بالحق ولكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون إن يوم الفصل ميقاتهم أجمعين يوم لا يغني مولى عن مولى شيئا ولا هم ينصرون صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Inshallah, tomorrow night we'll be continuing with our third night of power. Doors will be open at 10:15 p.m. Also on Friday, May 7th, at 6 p.m., we are going to be having our International Day of Quds. It'll be in front of the Dearborn Police Department. Assembly is going to be starting at 5:30 p.m. with a sharp start time of 6 p.m. inshallah. Please stay tuned to our WhatsApp and social media for upcoming posts about our programs. If possible, I know today we don't have the barrier in the chairs, but if the brothers could move a little bit forward, inshallah, for the sisters as well, so that they can use the chairs. And inshallah, with that, we'll allow Sheikh to come with a loud salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أطفال محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So welcome to our last talk about the transition. So alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the tawfiq to be discussing the akhirah and readying ourselves for that eventual journey that we're going to make. But before I talk into the last or address the last part of this topic, then what I'd like to do is to mention three very important things. The first of them is that I would like to offer each and every one of you my condolences on the shahada of Amirul Mu'mineen. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The reality is all of us were orphaned when our imam went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was our father. But unfortunately, the reality is he's a father that many of us, we don't know as we should. You see, as much as we love Amirul Mu'mineen, Allah, inshallah, never take away the wilayah that we have for Amirul Mu'mineen in our hearts, we don't know how great he really was. There's a hadith that's mentioned in the books of our Sunni brothers where they say this, the Prophet said, لَوْ أَنَّ الْغِيَاذْ أَقْلَامٌ. If the trees of the forest were pins, وَالْبَحْرُ مِدَادٌ, and the oceans were ink, وَالْجِنُّ حُسَّابٌ, and the jinn were the people who were responsible for making the calculations, وَالْإِنسُ كُتَابٌ, and the human beings were actually scribes, if that was the case, مَا أَحْسَوْ فَضَائِلَ عَلِي بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. If that was the case, they still would not be able to write down and enumerate the fadail of Imam Ali. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. This is despite the fact that was mentioned in our ahadith that the Prophet held back and didn't introduce Imam Ali as he could have. He says in one of the hadith, this hadith the Prophet mentioned after the Battle of Adiyat, he said this. He said that if it were not that it was afraid that some members of my ummah would say about you, Ali, what the Christians said about Isa. They said Isa was the son of Allah. They believe in him as a god. If it wasn't that some of the Muslims would say that, I would say something that you wouldn't pass by any group of the mu'mineen, of the Muslimin, except that they would take the dirt from under your feet as barakah. Remember, the Prophet's not exaggerating. He's holding back for our own sake, for the sake of those Muslims who would be misguided. Once Amirul Mu'mineen, he says, I went to the Prophet and I asked him for dua. That, oh Allah, I want you to ask Allah for my forgiveness. And the Prophet said, definitely. And the Prophet went to pray, and Amirul Mu'mineen said, I stayed behind to hear what the dua of the Prophet would be like. And he said, I heard the Prophet say these words, Allahumma bihaqqi aliyyin indak ighfir li Ali. By the right of Ali, forgive Ali. So afterwards, I asked the Prophet, I said, why would you make that kind of a dua? And he said, because there's no one who has a greater position. I didn't know anyone who has a greater position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you for me to use him as an intercessor. So alhamdulillah, we have this as an imam. And we've been talking about the hereafter and the barzakh and what we're going to do. But you and I mean, we're hopeful that one, when our eyes finally close from this world, we're going to see Imam Ali. Secondly, we'll have him as a helper and supporter as we go through that difficult journey. I wanted to give us a little bit of more good tidings, two more articles of good tidings. One of them is that, alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters are going to try and do their social and political responsibilities. I mean, these are lessons that we learned from Imam Khomeini, that religion, Islam, was not a religion which was only prayer and fasting, but had nothing to do with this world. He also taught, he revived true Islam, and reminded us that as Muslims, we have a responsibility to the oppressed. Now the leader has said this, those people who made the bay'ah to Imam, they have made bay'ah to Rasulullah. That's the Islam of Rasulullah. And you and I, we've heard those ahadith where Allah has promised that those, I'll just read you the Arabic of the hadith that the Prophet says, that God says in Hadith Qudsi, God promises to forgive kulli ra'iyatin fil Islam, any group of Muslims, ata'at imaman hadiyan min Allah Azza wa Jal. If these individuals obey an imam who is hadi, he's a guide, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they've made bay'ah for us, inshallah, in our time, that bay'ah to Imam Khomeini, then Allah has promised, even if we have some small issues in our personal lives, Allah has promised to forgive that. The other thing that the leader says is this. He says, don't get disheartened by the idea of a few people abandoning the caravan of the inqilab, the caravan of the revolution. That maybe you feel a sense of ghurba, that everybody's not remembering, everybody's not. He says, don't worry about that. Just because a few people left, don't think that the revolution is alone. He said, the revolution will connect to the coming of the Mahdi. Those who leave the caravan, they lose. The second reminder, brothers and sisters, is about the importance of the Day of Quds. In the Risala of the leader, he mentions this, that there are some people who don't have the jurisprudential fiqh ruling of a shaheed, right? A shaheed, if somebody has the honor of being shaheed, we don't bury that person. There's a social fiqh ruling for that person. They don't get ghusl, right? They're buried as they were. This person doesn't have that, but they have the same reward as a shaheed. He mentions two groups. One of them, he says, and he mentions this, those who anywhere in the world, they're killed trying to implement the laws of Islam. The second are those who are killed in those rallies. You've seen where sometimes, for instance, in Pakistan, people would come out for the processions and they'd be killed. What's the ruling of those individuals? Or now for Quds. The ruling is that this person will have the reward of a shaheed. So you and I, we don't want to take this opportunity lightly. The third one, reminder for myself and for you all, is the blessing of attending, inshallah, the 23rd night. So alhamdulillah, people have been attending the nights of Qadr. Many people, I mean, this is global. After the 21st night, you'll see that there's a drop in attendance. But the Ahlul Bayt have explained to us, there's many ahadith, that the greatest opportunity, the most opportunity, the greatest possibility for Laylatul Qadr is the 23rd night. So inshallah, we can come and we can benefit from that night. Now, remember, brothers and sisters, that if we do have mistakes, if we weren't perfect mu'mineen, Tawbah fixes everything. The hadith says this, it's from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahu afrahu bitawbatil abd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more excited, more happy with the tawbah of a person, because tawbah fixes everything, than the person. The Prophet gives three examples. The first is the person who's out in the desert, run out of water, desperately thirsty, and then that person comes across water. How happy is that person? Or the person who again was out traveling, let's say in a desert somewhere, and then they lost their steed. So now you know you're going to die a death out there in the wilderness, but you find the steed. Or the Prophet mentions that person who couldn't have children. Scientifically, they couldn't. medically they weren't able to have children, then Allah blessed this person. Finally, I'm able to have children. How happy is that person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more excited, happier with the tawbah of an abd than that. So tawbah fixes everything. There is one thing that Imam Ridha mentions for us to keep in mind so that our tawbah can be accepted. There's one of the beautiful ahadith where the Imam mentions, he's talking about the month of Ramadan, how Allah forgives, how many thousands of people will be forgiven. And then he says something. He says, until it comes to the day or the night of Qadr. فَإِذَا كَانَ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَادْرِ At the time of Laylatul Qadr, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ Allah forgives over there. The same amount that He forgave in Rajab and Sha'ban and Ramadan up until that day. Laylatul Qadr is a special night. He says there is one exception though. إِلَّا رَجُلًا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَخِيهِ شَحْنًا If there's a person who still has something in their heart to their Muslim brother or sister, there might be other people out there who've hurt us, who weren't kind to us, who didn't observe our rights, who did. One of the things you and I need to do is to forgive to be forgiven. That's one of the things that might stop somebody on this night where God wants to forgive everybody, but the person is still holding on to some grudges in their heart. So we need to forgive, inshallah, to be forgiven, because the hadith says that Allah says, keep these individuals aside until they make peace. So at least you and I, we want to do our part. We can't stop everybody else, but if we could forgive other believers and then be able to receive the blessings, then that would be good. Now, back to our topic. So what we were talking about was the Akhirah, the Barzakh, and why it is, actually we're talking about the mercy of the Barzakh, why it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have the Barzakh for us. What are the benefits in the Barzakh for the mu'mineen? I mentioned some of them the other day. One of them I just want to remind us about was the idea of that sadaqah, which is jariyah, continuous sadaqah. If you and I can do something that continues after us. For instance, let's say we're involved in Islamic media work that continues after us. A building which is people are going to be worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's another one, right? A book. Maybe we can be involved in writing a book. Training students. We talked about the idea that human resources, human beings are more valuable than anything. That was the true miracle of the Anbiya. So maybe we could try and do all of them to cover our bases. This is also another beautiful, there's a verse of the Quran where Allah says this in the Quran. Surah Baqarah 274, Allah says this, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ Those who spend their wealth, بِاللَّيْلْ وَالنَّهَارِ At night and during the day. سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً Secretly and openly. They say this verse was revealed about Imam Ali. He covered his bases. He had 4 dirhams. The Imam gave one of them in the day, one of them at night, one of them secretly, one of them openly. The idea of covering our bases. So you and I, if there's anything we could be doing to have a sadaqah jariyah so that we still have that, we're reaping those residual effects of our iman, even once we've left this world, then we definitely want to do that. Another thing that's mentioned in the ahadith about the barakah and the mercy of the barzakh is that for some of the believers who haven't done enough, because tawbah fixes everything, but let's say someone hadn't done enough, sometimes the grave and that time in the grave acts as a kafara, because Allah doesn't want the believer to go to hell. Al-maut kafaratun lidhunubil mu'mineen. Death acts as a kafara for the sins of the believers. Of course, the idea would be to make tawbah and not have to face them. But there's something else that I found that's interesting, mentioned by some of the ulama. What they say is this, that time that we spend in the barzakh prepares us to experience Allah's best in the hereafter. And this way, that the blessings in the hereafter are too intense for us in this human form to be able to bear. Both the torments For those who are militant about disobeying Allah, we have in the hadith that once Angel Jibreel was mentioning, because you know we have verses in the Quran about those chains that the inhabitants of hell will be chained with. Angel Jibreel told the Prophet this. He says that if one of those, one link of that chain was to come here into this world, لَذَابَتِ الدُّنْيَا مِنْ حَرِّهَا, the dull dunya would melt from the heat of one link of that chain. So both the torments are too intense, but also the blessings, they're very, very intense. What some of the scholars say is this, that going through this period in the barzakh, where we're able to experience some of the joys, and we're able to get ready for those joys that Allah has for us, that's another one of the blessings of the barzakh. I'll give you some examples. Once Angel Jibreel asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for permission to discover how vast paradise is. How vast is paradise? And Allah gave him permission. Angel Jibreel started flying, and he flew for 30,000 years. Till finally he got exhausted. And then he asked Allah. He said, I'm exhausted, I need more strength. And Allah gave him double his original strength. Again, the angel flew for 30,000 years. And again, the same thing happened. Again, Allah gave him strength. Finally, the angel asked, he wanted to know, have I made it? Is it the end? And one of the Hurul'een said that, Angel Jibreel, don't tire yourself. This is a waste of time. All this time that you've been flying, you haven't crossed the property of one of the mu'mineen. It's mentioned in a hadith that if the clothing of the inhabitants of paradise were to be put here in this world, the clothing, لَوْ أَنَّ ثَوْبًا مِنْ ثِيَابِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, just the clothing from the children, from the people of paradise, if that was to be brought here in the dunya, the people would faint from looking at it. And then, of course, no matter what we've heard, that's nothing compared to what Allah really has over there. Allah says in that one hadith Qudsi, "Adadtu li'ibadi, I have prepared for my servants, ma la aynun ra'at, wa la udhunun sami'at, wa la khatara biqalbi bashar." The things that I have ready for you on the hereafter, those blessings that I have for my righteous servants, he says, are things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and has never crossed human imagination. So the thing is, brothers and sisters, it's like Imam Ali says, the time now, the Imam says this, the rest of your life is priceless. Let's take advantage of now. Nabi Isa, his mother passed, and Nabi Isa buried his mother. And when he saw his mother in the barzakh, and she had the state that she had, it's mentioned, what a wonderful state. I mean, remember, she's the best of the women at her time. Her state in the barzakh, he asked her, he said, is there any desires that you have left? I mean, you had a son like Isa, you were the best of the women of the world, Allah gave you the virgin birth. She said, yes, I wish, even though she had been on the other side, I wish I could come back to this world and to fast on those long summer days, those hot days, and to stay awake at night on cold winter nights, because she knew the value of what she was doing. The thing is, you and I, we're not going to get a second chance at life. The idea is to use it right now, to try our best to benefit. How rare is it that somebody, and again, this lets you know, I mean, the story that I want to share with you, lets you know the station of the Ahlul Bayt, but how rare is it that somebody can get a second chance? For you and I, we have to take advantage of now. Sheikh, he's an Ayatollah al-Uzma, actually, Sheikh Abdul Karim Ha'iri, one of our Maraja, the one who established the Hawza in Qum. He was a young man, and he became a mujtahid. And what happened was, he had a true dream. He wasn't a marja at that time, he's just a mujtahid. He said that, I had a dream, and in my dream I was told that you only have 3 days to live. So he woke up, but then he thought, it's only a dream, perhaps it doesn't have any interpretation. He went about his normal routine for Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday. Thursday, things were going well. He decided to go. He wanted to go. And he went to a garden just outside Karbala. It belonged to one of the mu'mineen. He was there with his friends. They had a good time, relaxed. They were talking. They were doing mubahatha. Everything was going great up until lunchtime. He had lunch. And then after lunch, he laid down to rest. He said, when I laid down to rest, I started to shiver like crazy. His friends, the fellow Hausa students were with him, blankets, whatever they had to keep him warm, but he was shivering so much, he realized, that this is serious. He said, take me home as soon as possible. They took him home. When they took him home, he remembered that dream. When he remembered the dream, then his state got even worse, and then he started to see the signs of death. The way he tells the story is that I saw those two angels. One came to the right, one came to the left, and they said, this person, his time is up. He said that out of all of the Ahlul Bayt, he had a special connection to Imam Hussein. He said, I did tawassul with my heart to Imam Hussein. And I told him, I said that I believe death is a reality, but I haven't done anything for Islam. He said, by the right of your mother Zahra, give me an opportunity to do something for Islam. He said that a messenger came from Imam Hussein and told those other two angels that Sayyidul Shuhada said, he's done tawassul to us. He asked me to ask Allah for permission, and it's been granted to him. He said, when that happened, I come too. When he came too, they had already laid his body down. What Sayyid Fatima Niyah was saying was that he had already passed. He had died. When he comes too, he's under a sheet. His family has covered him. He hears all this crying. His eyes are covered. He's moving. He moves his hand. And somebody's like, stop crying, stop crying. What's going on? He's moving. He's come too. They take off the sheet. He said, for 15 days it took me to recover. Then after that, I recovered. Later on, he gets to establish the Hawza of Qom. And he says, that's from the barakah of Imam Hussein. But how many people get that kind of an opportunity? Our idea, the idea for all of us, is to try and take advantage of now. Now, I want to end with some of the things that we can do. Some of the things that we can do. And by the way, nobody should doubt that the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, can give life, that they can bring people back to life. Because Isa in the Quran, he was able to bring the dead back to life. Sayyid Fatima Niyah was saying that once he went to Austria, and when he gave a speech in Austria, one of our Sunni brothers was participating, or came after, and he said that, why is it that you say that the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, are higher than the Anbiya? He said, actually, you say the same thing. It's mentioned in reliable books, reliable ahadith. This is the one that I'm going to mention, that he mentioned, that our Prophet said, Atani malakun, an angel came to me. Faqala ya Muhammad. The angel said, O Muhammad, Salman arsalna qablaka min rusulina ala ma bu'ithu. Ask those messengers who've come before you, what was the condition for them to be sent? What was the condition? And the Prophet asked, the response was, عَلَى وِلَايَتِكَ وَوِلَايَةِ عَلِي ibn Abi Talib. The wilaya of Rasulullah and the wilaya of the... Otherwise, they don't even get a chance to be prophets. So our imams are higher than them, and this is mentioned in other books. Now back to our last part of our discussion. That's about visiting the graves. You and I know that, you and I, we talked about this, the idea that we can gift things to the amwat, and instantaneously they receive them. But that doesn't mean that you and I shouldn't actually visit the graves. We should actually make that part of our culture, things that we do. The Prophet says in this one hadith, زُرِ الْقُبُورِ, visit the graves. تَذْكُرْ بِهَا الْآخِرَةِ, visiting the graves will make you remember the hereafter. He also says, or this one is also from the Prophet, he says, زُورُ قُبُورَ مَوْتَاكُمْ, visit the graves of your dead. وَسَلِّمُوا عَلَيْهِمْ, pass salams to them. فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِيهِمْ عِبْرَةً, there's a lesson, there's admonition in going there to our friends, people we knew, and passing salams to them. You see, brothers and sisters, the dead still have a connection with their physical bodies. So yes, we can send a blessing. I'm going to mention some of the hadith later. We can send a gift to the amwat from right here, and they get it. But does that mean it's the same for them than if we go over and visit? And the answer is no. They're very much aware, because the dead still have a connection with their physical body. I'll give you some examples. The body of Hur at one time, Hur with Imam Hussein, was exhumed. But the connection to the body was so strong that not only was his body still fresh, the headband that he had been given by Imam Hussein was still fresh. Or maybe you've heard of Sheikh Tusi, one of our great scholars. He died about 1,000 years ago. And what happened was, there was a huge flood, and his grave was destroyed, and his body was discovered, and it was fresh. 1,000 years ago, Marhum Ayatollah Khoi was one of our maraja who was able to see. So what happens is, the souls of these great individuals, and our own amwat, are still somehow, you could say, connected to the bodies and visiting them. I'll mention the effects that it has on the dead themselves. Maybe some of you have also seen that video. There's about some of our shuhada. One of our shuhada is Shaheed Muhammad Ridha Shafi'i. This individual, his story is that he went to the battlefield when he was only 14 years old. For 5 long years, he served. He would come back, he would make brief visits. His mother describes how merciful, he was already merciful from the time he was very young. You see, he lost his father when he was only 11. And he used to tell his mother not to cry so much, because he used to say that your tears make me want to cry, and as a man, 11 years old, I shouldn't be crying this much. His mother mentions how merciful he was, how kind he was, but she says when he would come back from the battlefront, he would even be kinder. The way that he would serve, anything that she needed, shopping, any water. Anyhow, finally what happened was that he was in an operation called Karbala 4. And there the instructions were given for the brothers to retreat. And they weren't able to retrieve him. He had been shot in the stomach by the enemy. The brothers retreated. They went back to get him. It was too late. The enemy had captured him. He had been shot in the stomach, and for 11 days he stayed alive with that wound, but they refused to give him medical treatment till finally he went to meet Allah. They buried him over there. Later on, there was a prisoner exchange. During the prisoner exchange, they said, well, we have to go over and give the bodies. He had been buried for 16 years. You can see the video. They took out his body, and he was still fresh. Saddam said, there's no way you give him back to Iran like this. For 3 months, they kept his body out exposed. But still, his body didn't change, except that he tanned. They poured acid on his body, acid that helps the body disintegrate in bone. His skin had stayed fresh. And then they went over and they ended up giving that body back to his mother. Now, there are 4 things that Shaheed did. One of them is that he would always make the ghusl for Jumu'ah. It was one of his habits. Even if he had to put some water aside, make sure that he would make the water for ghusl, he would do that. The other one was he always stayed in a state of wudu. He would constantly keep his state of wudu. And the third one that they mention is that when people would recite Ziyarat Ashura, normally people dry their tears, this shaheed used to take his tears and he would rub them on his body. Allah kept him in this way. Oh, by the way, he also always prayed the Salatul Layl. Back to our discussion. So we know that the dead are alive. We know that they, we know the spiritual benefits now of visiting them. Do they know that we're visiting them? They asked Imam Sadiq this. He says that we visit the grave. Do they, he says that when we know, do they know? And the Imam said, yes, definitely they know. They take comfort in your presence. What Imam Bakr says is that actually when you leave, they feel lonely. They rejoice when you're there, and then when you leave, they feel lonely. Now, of course, you and I, some of us, our parents may go to meet Allah before us. And we're told to try and definitely make sure, although we visit our friends, we visit mu'mineen, we go for that ibrah, but if we can, it's a very good idea for us to visit our parents. The hadith says this, "Man zara qabra abawayh." The person who visits the grave of his parents, or one of them, it continues, every Jumu'ah, this person, غُفِرَ لَهُ, they'll be forgiven, and they will be written down as those who are dutiful to their parents. Or Imam Ali says this, that actually, he advises us to visit the dead, but he says, if you visit your parents, then you should ask Allah for your needs at the grave of your parents. He says, you made dua for them, because of that, you ask Allah for your needs. We ask that Allah accept what was said and heard in His way and make us people of the Akhirah who benefit from this world before we go back to meet Allah. We end with Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Muhammad wa ajal farajam. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Thank you so much, Sheikh. Inshallah, we're going to be continuing with our programs tomorrow night. We're going to be starting at 10:15, inshallah, for our third night of power. So please, if you guys are able to join us with Allah Salat, Allah Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون.